Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Watch Full Bloom. Man, it was great. I really like the way they capture the art of fighting, the art of war. And I love the way they put it in such a unique and wise way. It was powerful.
I just want to let you guys know that I just saw one of the best movies of all time. The name of it is In Full Bloom.
It was empowering to see a Japanese champion facing an American challenger.
It's about two guys fighting each other from different countries with the weight of their peoples on their shoulders.
You feel like you are on the journey with the ball fighters.
A lot of drama, fights, action, everything.
In Full Bloom. Available now on Amazon Prime Video.
And the other one, I want to put them in golf.
It's going to be exciting.
Maybe they don't like it, but...
I don't think it will be exciting for them.
It's exciting.
Yeah, for golf.
Yeah, it's exciting.
One day I was playing golf and I turned in the ball. The thing came out of my hand and boom, broke somebody's car.
What's up, everybody? Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And I'm Mike Tyson. And today we have a special guest today. Canelo Alvarez, the super champion, everybody. Ooh, come on, we need applause in this moment. All right.
We have his coach, Eddie, because you want to rep a two-time coach of the year, right?
One.
Soon to be two.
So tell us, man, what's this all about, man? Who's the next guy you planning on fighting? That was actually last fight, man. This guy, the guy didn't come and kill him, man. He went to make a payday.
No, la verdad es que tenía que enfrentarlo para hacer la meta que tenemos, que es unificar en las 168 libras, pero tenemos esta pelea en mayo que es con Billy Joe Saunders, un gran peleador, y pues seguir colectando los cinturones en las 168 libras.
Yeah, he said he was a mandatory fight for him, and then now he's up to bigger, he's going to move up to 168 pounds, and meet up with Saunders, and he's looking to just collect more belts and more gold to his resume.
The big son is one of the champions?
Yes, he's campeón, no?
Yeah, he's a champion for the WBO.
Yes, right, he's
cool. From England.
So who's
going to
be around the beach and no one can put it, just going to be hanging out? Who are you going to fight? You move up to 78, 75?
No, it's difficult to go too much way up. It's difficult for
what
me.
What about 60? Will you fight at 60?
168.
Only 68?
168 is my way now, and I feel good. I feel in my best moment, so I feel like anybody can beat me right now.
So who do you got to fight out there? Who do you want to fight?
Anybody.
You have nobody on the list.
I'm just going to fight the best fighter out there.
Who's that?
I'm going to fight with Billy Joe Saunders. He's one of the best in 168.
Yeah,
I just fought in December, and last December I fought with the number one in 168. Just I beat him, and then I'm going forward.
Yeah, and this is the thing too, Mike, with Canelo, it's a rarity for a Mexican to be a champion at the weight class that he is, because remember, we have Barrera, all these guys are all like 35 pounders. I mean, this guy's moving to 268 pounds, and, you know, which is, you know, again, it's a rarity for a Mexican.
He's awesome, man. What do you ever think about doing outside of boxing?
No, obviamente estoy haciendo mis inversiones. tengo muchos proyectos fuera del boxeo. Yo ahorita, gracias a Dios, con mis inversiones pudiera retirarme del boxeo y sigo viviendo mi vida que vivo hoy, pero amo lo que hago, amo el boxeo y le voy a dar hasta que mi cuerpo ya no pueda más.
Yeah, he said right now he's smart about what he does with his money. He's investing his money. I mean, but he's doing what he loves right now, and that's just boxing. But he says, you know, he wants to live on the investment that he's done now, you know, for the rest of his life. But right now, his priority, his love, is the sport of boxing.
How many fights do you think happen before you retire?
Maybe 7 years more.
Oh, that's so awesome.
How old are you, Canelo? 30. 30. 30,
37.
30,
37. Shit, right in age. It's a baby.
When did you feel at your peak, Mike? When did you feel like you're the strongest for you?
No, I think he's different because he's heavyweight. He can go more years.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
because
you do. Heavyweights last longer than the little guy.
Es más, todavía pelea, dile.
He says, you already, he said you're still fighting.
Yeah.
Less weight is more punches. Yeah.
Like, I think there's more volume when it comes to, like, the lighter guys.
Yeah. You have to be a loose because there's so much incoming from smaller guys. They throw a lot of punches.
Yeah. But then you guys, man, you know, you zig, you zag, and you get caught as a heavyweight. Your ass is out, you know?
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah.
It's tricky in there.
It's tricky.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious with you, Canelo. What were some of the Mexican fighters growing up that you felt that you admired? Because I remember growing up, we're somewhat similar age. I remember Barrera, Morales, like the whole trilogy.
I started for my brother, my older brother. But and then Eddie showed me a lot of videos of Gilberto Román, Julio César Chávez, Mantequilla.
Salvador Sánchez,
no. Not too much, but I don't saw him too much, yeah.
Ooh.
But
right?
Julio César Chávez, Gilberto Román, Mantequilla Nápoles.
Yeah, I remember Nápoles too.
Nápoles, you like Nápoles?
He's Cuban who lived in Mexico.
Yeah,
because Mantequilla.
I'm curious to know, where did you get your left hook to the body, and then you go fake the left hook to the upper? Did you find that in you, or did you take that from somebody that inspired you with that left hook to the body and then coming up top?
In the gym with Eddie. Yeah. I learned in the gym with Eddie. Eddie have a lot of experience. He loves to learn every day. So I find sometimes by myself to do things, but I learned from Eddie,
my coach.
Did you know Cristobal used to work with Salvador Sanchez?
Sí,
and he used to work with Chavez too, yeah.
Salvador Sanchez, sí, me gusta la resistencia que tenía, pero técnicamente, la verdad, no me llena. Es muy bueno, pero creo que hay boxeadores de mejor calidad como Gilberto Román, Ricardo López, Miguel Canto.
Oh, little Ricardo Lopez. Wow, right?
Yeah, he said he liked the resistance that Salvador brought, but he said technically there's a little more Mexican legends that he looked up to and that he studied.
Jeez.
I loved
Salvador Sanchez.
I think Sanchez is just hard to beat. He's one of those guys that this was making him so special with Sanchez. Mm-hmm. This has made him really special. To me and everybody else that knows the style, if you're a halfway fighter, decent fighter, you might last the distance. As good as you are, the greater you are, the more he kicks your ass. He fights right above the level of the game that he's fighting. If you're a real ass killer, he's gonna fuck you up. He's just above everybody else.
Yeah.
And that time he was just such a bad motherfucker.
You're talking about Salvador.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died young. Fun. He was a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
He beat Azuma Nelson. Azuma Nelson's an animal. He beat him. Oh, man. Wilfredo Gomez, a fucking knocker. Bazooka
Puerto Rican,
knocker.
Right?
Ah, monster. Sanchez, boom, boom. Listen, I've been a monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Oh, he knocked out everybody. Bazooka Gomez.
Yeah, I'm, and I think about that. I'm thinking about all the like the trilogies, like you know the Barrera, Morales. You've always had either Mexican fighters or Mexican fighters against Puerto Rico. Yeah. But for Canelo, my I'm curious to see how was it when you fought Chavez because you guys were these two countrymen. How is it that you were accepted after the fight was kind of took place?
For me, it's a fight. From that fight, we have. Problems like when I was 16 years old.
Yeah,
we need to make that fight, and then.
Do you guys know each other in the amateurs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in amateur. We don't fight in amateur.
No, but so, you guys knew each other. Was it yeah. problems? Because 16 years old, you're a pro now.
And then, but he have the torch, you know. Mm-hmm. He is the guy to make that fight in that time.
Yeah.
And then I'm growing up and getting better and do my job. And then I make that fight. Mm-hmm. No, but that fight was easy for me.
Yeah, no, I know that. But how was it with the Mexican people? You know, like
the people going crazy with that fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you feel like they're more with you or with him? Because even though Chavez Jr. is the legend's son, he's kind of hated in Mexico, Mike. Not hated, but not as appreciated.
With me, most of the people.
Yeah.
How your father's fucking amazing mother, how you living that shadow? Even if you look, he was the champion. Even if he became champion. But fuck, that's being a champion is like a beginner compared to him.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I mean, 88 fights without being beat, 89 fights, something like that.
Yeah, 89
that's one of those super records. You ain't gonna live to see that again. I'm not gonna see that. You're not. You ain't gonna never do that.
Yeah, absolutely, legend, man, absolutely. So, Eddie, I want to talk to a little bit about Canelo. How was it? When did you see there was a special gift with Canelo? Obviously, you know, I've known a bits about his story. You know, he would fight a lot because people would make fun of his freckles or the fact that, you know, he had a different hair color. How was it the first time you met him? What made him special?
¿Qué me hizo especial cuando me conociste?
Pues para empezar el pelo güero que tenía, el pelo rojo.
He said his blonde hair that to start off is what made him...
que estaba, tenía 13, 14, pues ya estaba muy fuerte.
He said his 13, 14 years old, he was already strong.
Muy fuerte ya para la edad que tenía. Y lo subieron a boxear con chavos que tenían ya 17, 18 años y pues los les ganaba. Yeah, pero sí, desde niño estuvo muy fuerte.
Yeah, he said he was abnormal as a kid, like 13, 14 years old. He was already, you know, dropping guys that were 17, 18 years old.
Allá en México a todos los niños que están así chicos les dicen mini Tyson. Porque todos están, Tyson era muy fuerte. Y a todos los que están chicos, mira, está como Tyson, mini Tyson, o sea que está fuerte.
He said everybody that's short and stocky in Mexico and Guadalajara where they're from, or in Mexico in general, they call him mini Tyson.
Holy shit.
Actually, estaba chiquito él, así fuerte como Tyson, chiquito.
Holy shit. Where are you from again?
Guadalajara, Mexico.
Yeah, Guadalajara, Mexico.
Jalisco.
I've been there before.
Yeah, that's where they make all the tequila, Mike.
I've been to Guadalajara before.
Tequila, Jalisco.
Yeah.
I've been to Cooler Kind of hanging out with Chavez. And then who's the other fighter? Jose Ramirez.
Jose Luis Ramirez.
Ooh, he was tough too.
Southpaw.
Yeah, Southpaw, yeah, he was tough too.
Con Chavo.
Remember he dropped the Guayo?
Alexis Arguello.
He dropped the Guayo.
Duran.
Duran got me into boxing.
Hey, Roberto Duran did?
Yeah. Watched him fight later. I said, wow. I want to do this.
Dile que quién es su peleador favorito de él.
He said, Eddie wants to know who is your favorite fighter.
Ooh, God. Ali, Duran.
Robinson.
But Ali is your most.
What tequila. I love all the fighters. Ali probably the most, but there's so many. It's not one fighter that could do everything. Like one guy could do one thing. You know, there's one guy that has the left hook that's just better than everybody else. It looks better than everybody else. Even though he's not a better fighter, but his punches, it's just weird. Fighting is weird.
Yeah.
It's just people that just look good fighting. Even if they're not a good fighter, they just look good losing. They just look good doing it. Some people just have that pizzazz in them. You know, it's just weird. Some people are born like that. You know, they just look good doing everything, even losing, you know.
Yeah.
¿Él entrenó también con Ali, no? ¿Con el que entrenó Ali, con Dunde? ¿O con Fuchs? He said,
yeah, he said, did he train Ali, Customato?
No, they were friends, they were good friends.
Yeah, and it's crazy because Customato and Ali were born on the same day, which is nuts, man. How random is that?
Shit happens. Someone has to be born in that day.
Yeah. Shit, two legends.
You have brothers and sisters. I know you have a brother that boxed, right? Saul?
Seven.
Seven brothers and sisters.
No, seven brothers and one sister.
Cool.
Yeah, and all them fighting in one time before professional.
Shit, man. Fuck.
That's crazy. Where do you fall on the ladder of the seven?
Hmm?
Where do you fall? What number?
The youngest.
Oh, he's the youngest.
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest.
Yeah.
That explains it, man.
I'm the youngest.
Explains it. Yeah, people think because you're the youngest... You know, you get beat up. You know, that's how I'm the second youngest, so I get a little taste of what he's.
They always and I'm one try of seven. To beat me and laugh at me, and everything. I need to do something.
Yeah.
When boxing no more, what you want to do?
Businessman. Enjoy my life and have my business. Now, I have many things to do.
Since you got organization with your fighters, right? It was stable to fight it.
I don't know yet. I don't like to be involved in boxing after I'm retired. But I have Eddie, so Eddie loves boxing. And maybe in some point.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's just pretty cool, too, with Canelo, Mike, is because he's always stayed low with his coach, you know. Rest in peace, you know, Customato. But I know, you know, the loyalty that he has for his coach is the same loyalty you have for.
You have to have loyalty.
Yeah,
you have to be prepared to do anything for one another.
Yeah, because I remember watching an interview with Canelo.
They don't care money. Of course they care, but the first thing they care is you, and then the rest of them.
Yeah.
That's why you need people like them, because it's difficult to find people in life that like they are.
Well, I understand that because people have to protect me from me, because I don't think I'm as poor as they think I am.
Yeah.
You know, what's this shit?
They looking, how you say, to que estés bien?
You look at your well-being.
You're looking out for your well-being.
You're good, and then the other thing coming.
Yeah, because even I remember when, you know, obviously you and Floyd, you know, you lost to Floyd, mm-hmm. and they had asked you, you know, are you going to be switching trainers? You're like, no.
No, I don't care, switch trainer. I know what happened, and I'm going to be with my trainer all my life.
Yeah.
Because I know.
And now that you're older now, Canelo, obviously you're 28 now. I believe you fought Mayweather when you were 21. How do you 30. Think? You're 30 now.
I'm 30
I'm sorry,
now.
You're 30.
When I fought with Floyd, I was 23.
How much have you grown from 23 now?
Oh, so much. I always...
7 years, right?
Yeah, 7 years. I always think I need to fight first with Coro, Lara, and all of that guys, and then Floyd. But that's what it is.
Yeah.
No, that's what it is. I'm okay.
So you think at 23, you think it was kind of premature, right?
I need more experience, more mature. Yeah.
I think that helps them more than anything. Fights like that helps you more than hinder you. Let me say, well, I can go 12 rounds with the best fighter in the world, and then it makes you better.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't take that fight like I lose. I take that fight like I'm learned from that fight.
Yeah, because of that loss, this is where he's at now.
Yeah.
Why don't you think about that? That loss put him here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember too, Mike, when I talked to you, and you always say, like, the fight that you felt like a world champion when you beat Larry Holmes.
Yeah.
Right? For you, Canelo, what was that fight that made you feel that great feeling as a warrior?
When I fought with Miguel Coro.
I was going to say that one, too.
Yeah.
Who's a great fighter?
One of my best fight. I feel like when I won that fight, I feel like okay, here is my best moment is coming.
Yeah, especially the fact that it was for you, Mike, it was because he had beaten Ali, you know, your hero, yeah. The legend. You know, exactly. For him, it was the Mexican Puerto Rico rivalry that, you know what I mean, against a legend.
You know, like Cotto was dry, and then he was on a hot streak for a while, and that's when he fought you when he was hot. He had a hot streak. You took the title from him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a hot streak when he fought him. You know, he started beating people. Somebody fought him and his brother. Your brother fought the same guy?
No, with Trout.
With Trout.
Austin Trout.
Yeah, Austin Trout.
My brother lost with Trout.
Yeah, and then, okay, that's right. And then I fought with Trout
and I beat
him. Yeah, I remember that.
So you're going to be that's the boxing. Businessman. You're going to be the businessman.
Yeah.
You're the big businessman. What else you think? What do you think this world's about? Huh? Since you've been living, what do you absorb from this world? What do you think about people?
Yo pienso que la vida es para disfrutar lo que hace uno el día a día.
Yeah, he said that life is about enjoyment of what you do every single day.
Porque a veces uno está preocupado por lo que pasó, por lo que va a pasar.
Sometimes people are worried about what's going to happen or
y no disfrutas lo que está pasando.
And it's better to just enjoy what's
lo que vale
now.
La pena.
That's what's worth.
Debes de preocuparte en el futuro, obviamente, ¿no? Lo que vas a tener en el futuro, tus hijos o lo que vas a hacer en negocios. Pero más que nada, creo que la vida tienes que disfrutarla día a día.
Yeah, you have to pretty much to sum it up. He says, you know, life is living in the present every day. Obviously, plan for the future, but if you don't live in the present, you know, the future will never come.
Yeah, the present is gone. Every time we talk, the present is gone. It's in the past.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so it's almost like living in the now, right?
Yeah.
You're like that, Mike.
Well, I can't allow my past to, you know, have any kind of fucking impact on my future.
Yeah.
From a negative perspective.
That's what I...
Yeah. Speaking about that, I know the boxing world has gone through a lot. Like, what's your take, Canelo, on this whole Jake Paul and everything that's going on, and how that's kind of.
Who's he fighting, Jake Paul?
Jake Paul is fighting Ben Askren. You know Ben Askren?
He's a fighter.
Yeah, he's an MMA fighter.
Yeah, I think he's a boxer. Yeah.
No.
You think Ben's gonna kill him?
Okay, I'm going to give you... Okay, so Ben Askren, he's a two-time NCAA champion. He was actually my Olympic teammate in 2008. He's a UFC fighter, but he didn't go so well for him. But he's also a troll, a guy that likes to go on the internet and talk stuff.
Oh, shit.
So is Jake Paul. But the thing is like, it's different because this Ben Askren guy, he can't grapple. And boxing, it doesn't matter who you are, because when you box...
It's different. Totally.
It's completely different.
Listen, know what's so interesting about boxing? Like, if you're MMA guy, the guy's got better hands, you can grab him.
Yeah.
If you're boxing and the guy's really better hands, you got to do a lot of thinking. It'll be a long night.
Yeah.
You know? He throws faster than you, harder than you. You're like, fuck, he's smart, hard to hit. Then you got to do some thinking.
Yeah, and I think I feel like I've noticed something in boxing, too, that MMA guys don't bring in. You guys have a certain pressure and fakes that's so, like, deceiving. Like, it's different. When you fight an MMA guy and you fight a boxer, they're very composed, and they stalk you. We're like, well, you're, like, afraid because you don't know what's coming.
Because in MMA, you got legs, arms, elbows, and stuff. Boxing, you just have this.
Yeah.
So you have.
Yeah, which makes it a whole lot more difficult. But to get back to that, what's your take on Jake Paul and the things that are going on in boxing right now? Do you think that's good for boxing, or what's your take on that?
No, la verdad que creo que para todos sale el sol en esta vida, ¿no? Para todos sale el sol y estamos bien con eso. Creo que cada quien puede hacer y deshacer su vida, ¿no? No soy quien para decir ni para hablar. Lo que sí es que lo que pasó, pues obviamente... con este basquetbolista, ¿no? Que le dieron licencia para pelear profesional y casi lo dejan muerto.
Yeah.
No es un juego.
Yeah.
Esto no es un juego. Te pueden dejar ahí. La vida la puedes dejar ahí. No, ese es el único detalle, pero creo que cada quien puede hacer lo que...
Yeah, he said anybody can do whatever it is that they want to desire, but he says boxing is no joke. I mean, Nate Robinson, he said he had no reason to become a professional boxer. I mean, look at him. He says they left him half dead after that fight. I mean, this isn't a joke either.
But listen, imagine how he feels when he comes out fine. The assholes. You know the assholes. Yeah. Come on, you know the assholes.
You talking about Robinson?
Yeah, he was
on your undercard, Mike.
You gotta deal with that shit.
Dije que se va con la
cartelera de él. You gotta deal with that shit with his family, his kids.
Yeah. ¿Cuándo vuelve a pelear, Mike?
Eddie wants to know when's your neck. When are you gonna fight next? You can probably drop the. You can probably drop the news now, Mike.
May.
End of May.
A finales de mayo.
Where you fought?
In May 8th.
Same ring you fought in. Mm-hmm. May 29th, something like 31. Something like that. Right where you fought. Same ring.
I'm going to fight May 8th.
Yeah.
That weekend of Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, that's always packed. Travis should always fight there.
Yeah.
Remember we fought the Azteca Arena in Mexico?
And, yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool, Canelo, to see you do something like that. Like, allow you to fight.
I wanted to fight in Mexico the last fight, but with the pandemic, yeah. It's so difficult to bring people to the arena.
Man, you fight in Mexico, it'll be jammed.
Oh, man.
Congestion City.
Yeah, but Mexico, that stadium, I think it fits like 150,000 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, Chavez sold that place out of Azteca.
Yeah. So you said about 100,000.
He sold it out, and it was still more people wanting to come in. Chavez is a monster when he's fighting.
Yeah.
It's just, you couldn't, it was like the president walking down the street. And then the Mexican community, Vegas, Colorado, he was a fucking god.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, but it's almost like this too, because you think about somebody like Chavez, Mike. You know, and it happens to a lot of boxers, unfortunately. But, you know, they fall into kind of that trap of
listen, money is an art. It's an art in taking care of money. You know, some of the greatest businessmen, they make great, but they don't know how to take care of money. It's really hard. It's really hard. Yes, it's an art.
Yo creo que lo más difícil en todo esto no es el tener dinero.
So the hardest thing is not about having
obviamente del dinero viene la fama, pero la fama es lo más peligroso que puede haber en todo.
He said the fame is the most dangerous thing that could happen.
¿Por qué? Porque viene gente a quererte llevar aquí, ofrecerte todo tipo de cosas.
Why? Because there's people that come in and they offer you everything.
Te meten en problemas.
They put you in problems.
Yo creo que la fama es lo más peligroso que puede haber.
He said the fame is the most dangerous thing. Do you agree, Mike?
Well, let me tell you. I'll say something different. It's the same thing, but it's just a different word. I think that camera right there is a narcotic. Mm-hmm. It's a narcotic. Once you see yourself on there, you see, wow, I could look better if I did this. And then you're hooked. Yeah, listen, all of us, we're fucked up. We're fucked up, right? We don't even know it. We think we're arrogant, we're cool. This fucks us up.
See? Yeah.
We change our attitudes, our tone, because we're conscious of our consciousness while we're here.
See, look at you. Is that look at
you? This is a drug that changes you once it's on you. You change. You change automatically.
Yeah, you guys are almost saying the exact same thing. I mean, he's saying the fame, but obviously you're getting a little, you're more in the little macro saying, hey, it's more, almost more self-love, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
No. This is what self-love is. Self-love is doing for him what you want done for yourself. Self-love is not internal love, it's external love.
Quiero entender esa parte bien.
Sí, él dijo que el amor así querido no es de ti. El amor realmente querido es hacerle de regresar el amor por otra persona como si fuera el tuyo. ¿Sí me entiendes? De regresar lo que está, lo que tú sientes a mantener eso con la persona que tú amas.
Uh-huh, sí.
Y tener esa relación. Sí. Eso es el amor así querido.
Real, sí.
Sí. Yeah, but I think that might be more vanity.
What? Oh, yeah.
You know what? Turn the camera off.
Listen, vanity has its place, too. You know, it has its place for people with the lowest self-esteem. And they look in the mirror and they love themselves. So vanity has its purpose. When you think, don't you go in the mirror all the time?
Yeah, I'm like...
That's what we do.
I says, I'm just glad I'm not losing my hair, Mike.
Well, it looks good, man. It looks good.
I see myself in the mirror. I'm a short-ass dude. That's what I see.
Nah, man. You're a giant.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You have babies?
Three.
How old?
13. Two and three.
Holy shit. 13 is a boy?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a 12-year daughter. She's like a prodigy in tennis.
Tennis?
One of the best in the country. Oh, nice. She will be pro one day.
Nice. Yeah. She can do it.
So yeah. What do you do with your kids?
My older daughter riding horses.
Horses?
Jumping.
Oh, wow. It's just
she's a champion in Mexico. And the other one, I want to be to put them in golf.
They like it. It won't be exciting.
Maybe they don't like it, but
I don't think it'll be exciting for them.
It's exciting.
Yeah, for golf.
Yeah, it's exciting.
One day I was playing golf and I tried to hit the ball. The thing came out of my hand and boom, pulled somebody's car.
Hey, wow. I think the same as you. When I don't play golf, I say, it's boring. When I start playing, oh, it's...
That's what everybody tells me.
Amazing.
If I hang out talking shit with your friends.
Amazing. It's a hard sport. Very hard.
Psychological sport.
Yeah. Yeah, how is it with your kids, Canelo? Obviously, you're a superstar, you know, in Mexico, all across the world, but especially, you know, I can only put myself in your kids' shoes. How is it that, do they feel that pressure from their dad being a champion? Even you too, Mike, obviously, if anybody knows it, you know.
Because I always try to be my life privacy, you know, to be calm with my kids. And they know they always come. But I always... For me, the most important thing in life is my privacy. I know it's difficult, no, for the person I am, but I try my best to live my life in privacy.
You should. If you're that kind of person, you should be in private. People should respect that.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? What about with you and... You know, because there's a lot of times when champions have kids, it's almost like the kids, we talk about Chavez Jr., it's almost like they become in the, you know, they feel like they live, you know, in the shadow of their fathers. How do you distribute that? How do you cope with that, Mike, with your kids?
I just let them know that I love them. Whatever they do in life, as long as they're happy. You know what I mean? I don't expect them to be world beaters, but they are very successful, but... I try not to get into that. I just show them love. It's all love. I'm always involved with them. Listen to their problems. Sending them money. And I just never put anything about me. You know, if I talk about me, it's only about my experience in life that equated to what they were talking about. But I try to put my perspective only in a father figure and not the champ.
Mm-hmm. Just pay attention in you, what you do, not what your father doing.
Mm-hmm. Because no one, believe it or not, they enjoy him being the champ, but they don't look at him as he's the champ. When he's fighting, yeah, that's their excitement. But when he's back home, that's his dad.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? That's just dad. Everybody goes, I do it too, but when we're home, cut the shit. That's just dad. Ain't that something? Because this is dad. Dad can't go out the door.
Yeah.
To have a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of life is that? What do you think, you know, that comes with great talent.
Yeah, and it's beautiful because you'll never have, you know, people can fanboy. I mean, I'm around you all the time, Mike. You know, people, I can see people, grown men, everybody fanboys over you, but your kids.
Oh, my kids, you know, think I'm such a dick. Oh, man. So my kids will go like this. Out of the blue. Magic Johnson bigger than you, Dad. He's more popular than you. I said, what the fuck? I said, get out of here. And my daughter said, Beyonce's bigger than you, too. I said, what the? Where's this coming for? And then this is my daughter. And I know you don't think you fly the Michael Jackson or Prince. Where's this coming from? You know, my kids always try to bust my chops. And they see I get all this attention. To, I don't know why they should be over there with Magic Johnson. Cause Magic Johnson's bigger than you. My kids will say this.
How many kids you
have? Seven kids.
Magic Johnson's bigger than everybody.
Yeah.
Boys.
All right, let's go to school. I got 1, 2, 3 boys and 4 girls. One of them's in the 3rd, one of them's in the 5th grade, and one of them's in college.
Mm.
Still got an 18-year-old in college. Those ones graduate. All those kids, they graduated from New York, NYC, Drexler, and American College.
Yeah.
And that's what I have a brother that's a brain surgeon. That's some shit. I can fucking barely read and write this guy a brain surgeon and shit. A couple of my friends were shot. He went there and sold them up. He said, Mikey, that's your brother? Yeah, my brother saved a couple of my friends' lives. They've been shot or something. He sold them up. He said, that's your brother? Yes, it is my brother.
Oh, your brother's a brain surgeon, Mike?
Yeah.
Jesus. No, que su hermano es cirujano de del cerebro. Sí. O sea, imagínate qué diferente el futuro, ¿no? ¿Cómo se fue? Yeah, that's crazy.
I wasn't good in school. I just couldn't understand the shit. The division, you gotta jump and take this number, take one from three. Oh, God. Now it's two. I was just not interested in what they had to teach. The teachers, that is. I just want to fight. I said I gave up school and started fighting.
I'm the same. I don't like the school.
No way. I'm doing school. I'm looking out the windows, waving at people. It's horrible in school.
Damn, that's crazy, Canelo. A question that I have for you is like, how do you see yourself in sports? You know, obviously you have the LeBron James, the Ronaldos. People that have made a huge impact in just sports in general, you know, where do you place yourself amongst a lot of these legends that have done big things, and not just boxing, mm-hmm. but in sports in general?
No, pues obviamente dejar una historia, un legado, y más que nada, pues para nosotros los latinos es muy difícil que nos respeten en Estados Unidos, ¿no? Entonces, de hacer que nos respeten aquí en Estados Unidos, obviamente como peleadores nos respetan demasiado porque somos los más fuertes que hay, ¿no?, en el mundo. Pero más que nada en el lado del negocio siempre nos hacen menos. Entonces eso es lo que estoy haciendo, y que cada peleador que venga aquí a Estados Unidos a conquistar, pues ahora sí que
a buscar
todo, pues dejarles que podemos hacer lo que sea en cualquier parte del mundo, ¿no? Y que nuestra palabra vale muchísimo.
Yeah, he said to represent, his legacy wants to be to represent the Latino community as much as possible. He doesn't feel like they're respected as much as they should be, whether it's in business or just in life or just here in the U.S. for that matter. He wants, you know, his legacy is to be respected, not just as a boxer, because they all respect the Mexicans, especially in boxing, but just in general, he wants to make that impact and change it in that
way. What is he willing to contribute to make that a reality?
Que si estás dispuesto para cumplir, para hacer todo eso.
Sí, claro, lo estoy haciendo, y estoy dejando el ejemplo de lo que estoy haciendo, que cuando tienes las capacidades de ser el mejor, tienes también las capacidades de ser lo mejor también en el negocio, ¿no? Y eso es lo que estoy haciendo.
Yeah, he said he's doing it now with his example. He says if he can become the best at a certain craft, you can become the best at life and just in general. So he's doing it now. I mean, he's got, you know, he wants to fight for the next 7 years, which, man, that's a long time, Mike.
No, some years will come so damn fast. You'll see so many people grow and die and all that stuff. 7 years is nothing.
Yeah. Before we wrap up here, Eddie, Canelo, you guys have any questions for Mike? You know, growing up with Mike, you know, you guys have any questions for him? I know he gets
you
a lot, but
I just want to say that I'm happy to see him well, back, healthy. For me, to see him good is really,
thank you, bro.
It's really good for us, for me in special, to see you good. Your person is the best thing in
Thank
life.
You very much, brother. Thank you. I truly appreciate that.
Cuando la primer tristeza que me dio a mí en el boxeo.
He said the first sadness that he found in sport of boxing.
12 años, yo creo, 13.
He was about 12 or 13 years old.
Fue cuando peleó en Japón que perdió con Buster Douglas. Fue la primera decepción del box.
Yeah, he says the first time that he really, you know, when it was like there was sadness. He said he got himself crying when. You know, when you lost to Buster Douglas in Japan.
Y la otra fue cuando perdió Chávez con Randall.
And the other one was when Chávez lost to Randall.
Pero fue la primera vez que sentí algo feo en el box, porque me gustaba desde niño, lo veía desde los...
He said he saw you as a kid, Mike. He said when he saw you lose, it was
like a death. I cried when Oscar De La Hoya beat Chávez.
You cried?
Con Lauria Chávez.
Se la voy a Chávez cuando perdió.
He's my hero too. Mm.
Chávez.
Y él es el héroe de muchos mexicanos allá, de muchos, pues toda sí. la gente lo, desde said, niño lo quieren mucho.
He says in Syria, Katie says, even though you may not be Mexican, Mike, you're Mexican to the Mexican people.
Well, I'm Mexican children.
Oh, you have hijos mexicanos. Hmm. That's cool, man. Well, guys, thank you for the show. Thank you. Any other last questions, man? This was fun, man, to get a chance to talk to, you know, two living legends.
I'm a tribute, he's a cool kid. And I never had a chance to sit down and have a conversation. Really good guy.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, you guys have a lot of similarities, Mike. Get a chance to hear his philosophy in life and yours. It's awesome. To
life
hear.
Is what you make it. Whatever you think you are, a smug or a great guy, that's what you are. You're right.
Well, muchachos, guys, thank you so much for joining us.
You did a great job, though.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. You better tell Uncle Rob, man. But I appreciate
he knows
it.
You did a great job.
Now, to me, it's an honor, Mike, to be able to,
Vamos a practicar más inglés para la próxima vez hablar más de más cosas.
I'm going to learn more English to speak.
Yeah, English is cool. Spanish is cool, too. Don't forget that. I know some people, they come here and forget all that. Don't talk Spanish no more.
No. Yeah. Spanish is always
good. Always remember where you're from.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Thank you for everything.
That's good, guys.
Thank
well, this is Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. I'm your co-host, Triple C, Henry Cejudo.
And I'm Mike Tyson, and we're out.
Mike Tyson raves in full bloom, captured the art of fighting. The Hollywood Reporter says it's Malik meets Scorsese. In Full Bloom. Available now on Amazon Prime Video.
Hi, this is Mike Tyson. I train on an Aqua training bag, arguably one of the best heavy bags in the market today. When you add the new power sensor technology, your Aqua bag turns into world's first class smart bag. This sensor app combination measures your power punches, strike count, and calorie burn. It will do this throughout your training routine. The app's history features allow me to set up a baseline and then set a short and long-term fitness goal. I'm telling you, this is the next level heading bag, baby. The data don't lie. Use discount code ER10 to save.